Well, this morning, as we anticipate spending time on Thursday with family and friends celebrating Thanksgiving, I thought it would be helpful for us to take some time and turn our thoughts towards this great part of our worship of giving thanks to God and focus on the blessed attitude of gratitude this morning. Giving thanks to God is gradually fading in America. With the rise of so many other religions in our own country that worship other gods than the true God of Scripture, thanksgiving is on the decline. It's also shrinking because of the growing attitude of unbelief that's in America as well. We do not give thanks as a nation like we once did. And because of that, I think it's important that if true, godly, biblical thanksgiving is to live on within our country, it can only live in the hearts of God's people, and that it is our responsibility to take the lead in giving thanks to God, for surely the unbeliever most certainly will not. This was illustrated by a story I recently read by H.A. Ironside, the old preacher now with the Lord. But he was in a crowded restaurant one day eating by himself, and a stranger came up and asked if he could join him at his table. And he certainly invited him to have a seat. And then, as was Ironside's custom, he bowed his head and he offered a silent thanks to God for his food. The stranger sitting with him then turned to him and, not understanding what he was doing, asked him if he had a headache. And he said, "No, I don't have a headache." He says, "Well, something wrong with your food." And he says, "No, nothing's wrong with my food. This is my custom to always give thanks to God for my food." Upon hearing this, the man said, "Oh, you're one of those, aren't you? Well, I want you to know I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in." And Ironside said, "Yes, you're just like my dog, because that's what he does too." So lest we become like dogs and forget to give thanks to God, it's important that the people of God give thanks. And that we learn to give thanks to God all the time, because He is worthy. What I'd like for us to do this morning is to look at thanksgiving as a command. And then I'd like for us to look at thanksgiving in the sense that it glorifies God. And then look at thanksgiving as a means of grace by which God pours forth many of His best blessings upon His people when they give thanks to Him. Well, let's begin by reminding ourselves of what we already know to be true. And that is, thanksgiving is a duty and a command that God places upon His people. I've printed in your outline both the text of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, and also Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. And in those verses we read, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In Ephesians 5, verse 20, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." Now, what we learn in these two verses is that there is a charge, a mandate, given by God to His people to give thanks. We are to do it to God our Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, you can never doubt that this is God's will for your life. "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Thanksgiving is most appropriate because we receive so much from the Lord each and every day. I think it was Spurgeon that said, "As long as we are receivers of mercy, we should be givers of thanks." And I think that is true. Obviously, ingratitude is one of the worst kinds of the sins of omission. We remember in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, that this was part of the failure of the pagan idolaters, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him or give thanks. An ungrateful heart that does not give thanks to God really is a thief, because it robs God of the glory that He deserves and rightly belongs to Him. Thanksgiving, as I've already pointed out, is also really very uncommon. If you look at the 10 lepers that we just read about, only one of them returned to give thanks. 90% of them did not give thanks. Because true thanksgiving really is quite rare. It is a command. It is a mandate. It's a charge that we should take seriously and yet joyfully. But also, let's look at these verses from the perspective of the circumstances in which we are to give thanks. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in everything, give thanks. In Ephesians chapter 5, always giving thanks for all things. So both in everything and for everything, we are to give thanks. That means it's all circumstances. In every circumstance, we're to give thanks. For every circumstance, we are to give thanks. Both while we are in the circumstance, we are to give thanks. And even when we're working through it and for it, in all things, we're to give thanks to God. That's what we're commanded. Thanksgiving should be always, as we read the beginning word in Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things. In other words, the thanksgiving in the heart of the child of God should be like the evergreen, which is always green. Winter, summer, spring, and fall, the evergreen is always green. And so should be thanksgiving in the heart of the child of God. It should be evergreen, whether in the beauty of spring, whether the heat of the summer, whether the frosty temperatures of the winter, we should always be evergreen in our giving thanks to God. Always, in everything, for everything, in all circumstances, we should give thanks to God. Now, I've broken these circumstances down into the good things and also the bad things, because if we're to give thanks always in everything and for everything, well, that includes both your blessings and also your trials. So, number one, we're to give thanks to God, certainly for our good things. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases," meaning that whenever you receive a healing, it is God who does it, "who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." We're to give thanks to God for all of our blessings, both the big and the small, the huge and the teeny weeny ones. We're to give thanks to God for all things and in everything. Both our bounty and our breath we're to praise God for. Both our salvation and our sleep we're to thank God for. It's too easy for us to take our blessings for granted, but we're to thank God in everything, for everything, at all times. Give thanks to God. The good things we're to thank God for, but also, secondly, the bad things. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 38 says, "Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill go forth?" That certainly all things ultimately come from God. And if we're to give thanks to God in everything and for everything, then that has to include our challenges, our trials, our problems. Those have to be included as well. In order to do this, it takes at least two great companion truths for us to give thanks, particularly for the trials that come into our life. The first truth we have to keep in our mind is that God is sovereign over all things. If you don't believe that, how can you give thanks to God for a trial that comes into your life if you're blaming the devil for it all? How can you give thanks to God if it's all the devil's fault, you see? No, to really give thanks to God in everything and for everything in all times, we must believe that God is in control of all things that touch our lives. And the second great truth we have to keep in mind in order to be able to do this is to remember that not only is God sovereign, but God is good to His people. If you don't believe that God is sovereign and good and works all things together for good to His people, then how can you give Him thanks? But it's believing that God is sovereign and believing that God is good forms the theological foundation for giving thanks to God in everything, for everything, at all times. Without that, simply, logically and biblically, we will not give thanks to God for all things. We often don't thank God for our trials and our heartaches and our difficulties. Although we're willing to praise Him for our blessings, for the good things, we sometimes fail to realize that even adverse circumstances are blessings in disguise. This was true of a certain preacher, and, you know, preachers and pastors and people like that are certainly not shielded from these kinds of faults. But there was a Scottish preacher by the name of George Matheson that had this very problem. And he realized that he was not as ready to praise God when things went wrong as when they went right. And there was a period of time in his life when God brought a very severe trial into his life, and he began to lose his eyesight. And he struggled with thanking God for a number of months for the weary burden that this was placing upon his life and his ministry. Until, by the grace of God, he came to the point to where he could pray, "My God, I have never thanked You for my thorn. I have thanked You 1,000 times for my roses, but not once for my thorn. I've been looking forward to a world where I shall get compensated for my crosses, but I've never thought of my crosses as a present glory. Teach me the value of my thorn." If we are to always give thanks for everything and in all things, then we should learn to give thanks to God for our thorns as well as our roses. We should include our weaknesses, our hardships, our burdens, the trials that we face, because our God, being both sovereign and good, is working these for our good. Remember Joseph when he told his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And Paul said that when I am weak, then I am strong, because God told him that His grace was sufficient for Paul. If we give thanks for all things, including our thorns as well as our roses, then we will find that God will most often use our difficulties more so than our blessings to help us grow spiritually. Keep this in mind, that God oftentimes uses our difficulties more than our blessings to help us grow spiritually. Why is that? Well, because it's in those difficult times of our life that we discover the sufficiency of God's grace. It's when our problems are mounting up that we begin to turn to God and cry out for His help. And that's sanctifying. It's when our troubles mount up that we learn to depend upon Him and His strength and realize that His strength is perfected in my weakness, and that is a great blessing. When you praise God for your roses, also remember to praise Him for your thorns, because they too have sanctifying power in the lives of God's people. Well, we're to give thanks to God for all things, both your blessings and your trials, because we are commanded to do that. It's not an option, it's not a suggestion, it's a mandate from on high, because God is sovereign and God is good, and He wants us to learn that by giving Him thanks and praise for all things. Secondly, let's keep in mind this morning that thanksgiving glorifies God. A thankful heart glorifies God because it acknowledges Him as the sovereign Lord over all of life, the giver of every good and perfect gift, who works all things together for good. It glorifies God when I believe that. And I acknowledge it back to Him in thanksgiving and praise. Psalm 50, verse 23 says, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me." And when we offer to God a thanksgiving sacrifice, then it honors God. Because you see in Psalm 22, verse 3, God is enthroned upon the praises of Israel. And it's when we give praise to God and thanksgiving to God that He is enthroned, in a sense, as it were, upon the praises of God's people. It glorifies God when we give Him thanks. And if you've ever wondered, you know, how can I glorify You today in my life, O Lord? Well, give Him praise and thanksgiving. That will glorify God. The third thing we learn about thanksgiving, that as we approach Thanksgiving Day on Thursday and we think about the importance of giving thanks, how it's commanded, how it glorifies God. Thirdly, I want us to think about how thanksgiving is a means of grace. And what I mean by this is that a thankful heart is a means by which God brings more of His blessings upon His people. That there are many blessings that only come to a thankful heart. So that if we're not giving thanks, there will be a big hole in our soul, in a sense, because there will be certain blessings that we will lose if we do not habitually give thanks to God. A thankful heart is a means of grace. It's a means by which God delights to bless His children with certain blessings we would never have if we did not give thanks to God. The Lord has many happy surprises hidden away for those who give Him thanks. Some of His best and most precious blessings can only be obtained from a thankful heart. Well, let's look at some of those. First, a thankful heart prepares the heart for worship like nothing else can. In other words, the thrill of being in the presence of God, the enjoyment of the presence of God, the worship of God is stimulated and accented and enhanced by a thankful heart. For example, Psalm 95, verse 2 says, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving." Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name." So that the appropriate response or the appropriate way to enter into God's presence is with a thankful heart. And God delights to meet with a thankful heart in a way that He doesn't meet with a heart that does not give thanks to God. We are told to enter His gates with thanksgiving. Because whenever we enter into the presence of a king, and particularly when we enter into the presence of the King of Heaven, we must dress our hearts accordingly. Now, you would never want to show up with an opportunity to shake hands with President Bush and just come in from a workout in the gym or something, and you're sweating and you got your old worn out warm-ups on, and you would never want to meet the president that way. No, you'd be clean and you'd probably wear something nice and you'd want to look your best. And in the presence of the King of Heaven, we're to dress up our hearts in a way that is fitting with His glorious presence. And the Scriptures tell us that's with the heart of thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And bless God that through Jesus Christ we can go deeper than that. Because in Jesus Christ, with the forgiveness of our sins, we don't just enter through the gates. We don't just go into the courtyard of the temple. We enter actually into the Holy of Holies because of what Christ has done. How much more should we clothe our hearts with thanksgiving as we enter into His presence because of what Christ has done for us? Now you say, well, what What about the times when my heart is broken? Well, we can certainly enter into the presence of the Lord with a broken heart. Psalm 34, verse 18 reminds us that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And Psalm 9 says, the Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. But even when we come with a burdened heart and a broken heart into the presence of God, we should always salt that affliction with thanksgiving to God. Because if you believe that, again, that God is sovereign and that God is good, even in the midst of the brokenness of your heart, there is something to give thanks to God for. It's always appropriate to enter into God's presence with great thanksgiving. Secondly, not only does a thankful heart help us to worship God and enter into the very blessed presence of God, a thankful heart also helps to subdue anxiety. Turn, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4, to this very familiar passage that we have read many times and been comforted many times by reading it. But let's review this again, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of Christ. And these are good truths to remember. Philippians chapter 4, let's read verse 6 and 7 again. Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, we are told here that Christians are not to worry about anything. Impossible, right? I mean, we read this, and I mean, practically speaking, we say, you know, what kind of a world are you living in, Paul? Because this is not my world, you know, because I worry and I stress out and I'm anxious about so many things. But Paul says, you're not to worry. Matter of fact, you're not to worry about just the big things, you're not to worry about anything. You're to be anxious for nothing. You say, well, Paul, how in the world can this ever take place? I mean, it's one thing to tell us not to worry, but practically, by the grace of God, how do we do this? Well, Paul has not just given us a command without also showing us the key to fulfilling it. Notice what he says in verse 6. But, that is, instead of being anxious, overcome your anxiety by, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, it's the thankful prayer that is the key to overcoming anxiety. Not just the prayer, but it's the prayer with the thanksgiving that is designed to subdue worry and anxiety in the heart. That is the power of thanksgiving. That is the blessing of thanksgiving. That is the blessing that will only come to those who give thanks to God. Their worry, their anxious heart will be subdued. And in the place of that anxiety, in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." How do you get the peace? I've got the anxiety. How do I get rid of that and get the peace? Well, Paul has told us how to do that. You pray with thanksgiving. Whatever it is you're anxious about, you give thanks to God for that circumstance. It takes us back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything, give thanks." You give thanks to God for the circumstance. You pray with thanksgiving. And as you give thanks to God, the anxiety begins to fade and the peace of God begins to roll in, if you truly believe that God is in control and that God's will and purpose for your life is good. If you give thanks that way, that will replace anxiety with God's peace. You know, I think many of us, when we get strung out, does anybody get strung out at times, stressed out in their life? It's like a spring that I have on my garage door. We have the garage door that has a big, well, I guess it just has one spring on one side of it. When you let the garage door down, that spring just stretches out and it gets tight and taut. And I mean, it's almost kind of scary. You know, you always wonder if it's going to pop and kill somebody. But it's all stressed out and it's taut and it's just tight. And that's how we get sometimes in our life. You know, the burdens come into our life and they weigh us down and the door comes down and our life gets stressed out and we're just irritated and we're full of anxiety and we're just tight and stressed out. But what happens is when we give thanks to God, it's like pushing the little button in your car, the automatic car door opener button. And you push the button of thanksgiving, and what begins to happen? The door, the weight, the burden starts to lift up. And as it lifts up, that tight, stretched out, strung out spring begins to get smaller, and it begins to compact, and it begins to loosen up until finally when the door gets all the way up and the burden is all the way lifted, that spring is just hanging down loose as a goose. But that's what the thanksgiving does in our soul. Is that whenever we're anxious and we're worried and we're stressed out and we're all tense and uptight, we give thanks to God and the burden begins to lift. And our soul begins to unwind and loosen and relax until it's peaceful and loose and calm. But that's the ministry of giving thanks to God. It brings that peace. It brings that inner soul relaxation where we're trusting in God. Giving thanks to God is like a spiritual tranquilizer for the soul. It just helps ease all of that burden that comes into our life so that God's peace can come in. But if you do not give thanks, don't be surprised if you walk around stressed out, full of anxiety, full of worry, because it is only the prayer with thanksgiving that can dissolve anxiety and replace it with God's peace. That's part of the blessing that God has designed only for those who give thanks to God regularly. And how we need to do this, brethren, because all of us at times get so weighed down by our problems and our troubles. We get so negative, we're always fixating upon what's wrong and not what's right. We're always looking at our problems and not our blessings. And it's just like that heavy burden has closed the door. No wonder we don't have fellowship with God as we should. But you start pushing that button and you give thanks to God and acknowledge that He's sovereign and acknowledge that He's good and that He's working all things together for good in your life. And suddenly the burden is lifting and the worry begins to dissipate. God has given us a great blessing that has come to those who give thanks. And so we should give thanks to God like this. Oh Lord, I thank You that I can bring all my cares to You because You care for me. Thank You that I don't have to worry about my life as to what I will eat or drink, or for my body as to what I will put on it. Thank You that You have promised that if You care and provide for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, that You will provide for me, Your child, by grace through the blood of Christ. Thank You that Your watchful eye is ever upon me. Thank You that You know my needs. Thank You that You're working all things according to Your perfect plan for my life. I give You praise, O God. I give You thanks, O Father. Lift this burden from me, O God. And I thank You that in this You're driving me to Christ. That through this fear that I have, this trouble that I have, this anxiety that's in my heart, that I can roll all my burdens upon You. I thank You that You can and will carry all of my burdens, O God. And you just begin to thank God. And as you thank God and review His glory in your prayer, suddenly that burden will lift and God's peace will come in when we give thanks to God. Well, one of the blessings that comes to a thankful heart is that it prepares us to worship and brings us into the presence of God. Secondly, it helps to subdue anxiety. And thirdly, it empowers a trusting heart. It enables you to trust God more. Turn to the book of Daniel, if you will, quickly. Daniel chapter 6. And if you have to cheat, go to the table of contents. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel is one of the prophets. It's at the end of the major prophet section in your Bible. And look at Daniel chapter 6. And look specifically at verse 22 and 23. You're familiar with this. So this is when Daniel was cast into the lion's den. Because Darius the king made a decree that for 30 days no one could pray to any other god but to his statue. And of course Daniel wasn't about to do that. He was going to be faithful to God and worship God. And he was spied out by his enemies, and they saw him worshiping God when he should not have been, according to the king's decree. So they went and they ratted on him. And you know the story. He's thrown into the lion's den all night long. And then we read that the next morning the king came out and rushed out to see what had happened to Daniel. And starting in verse 21, then Daniel spoke to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him. And also towards you, O king, I have committed no crime." Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Now when I read that, I'm amazed. I'm thinking, okay, Daniel is thrown into the lion's den, and God rescued him in part because he trusted in his God. He was thrown into the lion's den with all of these lions facing almost certain death. If the lions are hungry at all, he's going to die. And yet he was delivered by the angels of God because he trusted in his God. Now that is an incredible trial, brethren, is it not? I mean, maybe you felt like you've been thrown in lions' dens before, but they probably didn't have real teeth. But Daniel was thrown into a real lion's den. And even in that dire circumstance, he trusted God. And I asked myself, how was it that his faith was that strong to trust in God in the midst of that difficult circumstance? Well, obviously, the grace of God. But how did the grace of God establish that heart of trust? Well, we see that, I think, all the way back up in verse 10. Because this is what caused him to be able to trust God. In verse 10 it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously." You see the connection between thanksgiving to God, regular, habitual thanksgiving to God, and a heart of trust that could trust God even when you're thrown into a lion's den? What caused that trusting heart was that Daniel regularly, perpetually, habitually bowed his knees before God and gave thanks before his God. And he was thanking God after he heard that the decree had been signed. "Oh God, I thank you that even though King Darius has signed this decree that whoever would violate it and worship you will be punished severely, I thank you, oh God, that you're in control. I thank you that you're the only true God. I thank you that you rule over all things in life. I give you praise. I give you thanks." And it's that habitual giving thanks to God that taught his heart to trust when his great trial came upon his life. Daniel had an attitude of gratitude, and that enabled his heart to trust God in the most severe trials that he ever had in his whole life. Thanksgiving, you see, builds trust in the heart of God's people. So that we should pray, "O Lord, thank you that you sit on your throne in heaven and rule over every detail of my life. Thank you that you have revealed your great attributes to us so that we know that all the inhabitants of earth are accounted as nothing. That you do according to your will in the host of heavens and among the inhabitants of earth, and that no one can ward off your hand. Thank you that you rule over the realm of mankind and bestow it on whom you wish, that by your power and wisdom you remove kings and establish kings, and that Darius is in your hands, O God, that his heart is like streams of water in the hands of God, that he turns it whichever way he wishes. Thank you, God, that this trial comes from your loving hand. And I know, Lord, that this lion's den is for a purpose. And I thank you that you have a plan for me that reflects your goodness and your wisdom. And thank you, O Lord, that you're always with me, that you will never leave me or desert me, that you're with me even now. And thank you, O God, that I can have your peace. And by your power, I don't have to worry that I'm here with lions, because I'm in your hands. And you can see that if the heart is trained to give thanks to God, then, brethren, trust will be the normal and natural response in times of trials and difficulties of life. Well, you may ask, as I often do, I need help in growing a thankful heart. What has God ordained to help me to grow in my thankfulness to God? And in conclusion, I want to give you three things. First, if you need to grow in a heart of thanksgiving, you need to strengthen your assurance, and that in three areas. You need to strengthen your assurance that, number one, this is all under point number one, but you need to strengthen your assurance that you belong to Christ. Because those are the only ones who can really give thanks to God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says, "Brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you." Make certain. Be sure that you have an interest in Jesus Christ. The second part of this is strengthen your assurance that God is sovereign over all things. If you don't understand that or believe it, then go to the Word of God and search this great truth out. It is imperative that a heart that gives thanks must believe that God is in control of all things. We cannot give thanks in all things, for all things, at all times, if God is not sovereign. And the third part of this first point is to also strengthen your assurance that in love, God works all things for your good. I'm emphasizing it again because it's absolutely imperative that if you want to grow in your thanksgiving to God, that you strengthen your assurance that you belong to Christ, that God is sovereign and God is good toward you. Never doubt that. Deepen your assurance in that. That's the first thing that will help you grow with a heart of thanksgiving. The second thing, strengthen your contentment in life. He that desires much will not be content with little. Be thankful for what you have. Don't be dissatisfied with what you don't have. Strengthen your contentment. You may say, "Well, I don't have good health." Well, be content with the fact that you have life in Christ. You say, "Well, I'm of humble means and I struggle financially." Will be content with the fact that you're rich in Jesus Christ. "Well, I don't live in a very nice home. I don't have a castle." But be content that you have a roof over your head. No matter how meager or small it may be content with what God has given you. When you're content, you'll be far more thankful than when you're discontent. Focus upon what God has given you, not what He has withheld from you. And that will help you to give thanks to God. And then finally, strengthen your sense of your own unworthiness to receive anything from the hand of God. Have we not all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Are we not unworthy of the smallest boon that Christ has given to us? Remember your unworthiness. Tell yourself often that I deserve nothing and all is by grace. And that even if I have only but a little, that God has given me far more than I am entitled to. And that ultimately, if I have Christ Jesus, I have everything that my soul needs for my eternal happiness and blessedness in heaven, if I but have Christ. Strengthen your sense of your own unworthiness and bless God for Christ. Well, Thursday is a day of thanksgiving, but what about today? And what about tomorrow? And Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday and next week? We're to give thanks to God in everything, for everything, at all times. Because God is sovereign and God is good. And may God help His people to give thanks to God. Let's pray. Our great Father in heaven, how we thank You for this special opportunity this week to pause and to give You thanksgiving, Lord, for our many blessings. And yet, Father, we're reminded that we're to give You thanks not just on Thursday, but today as well. And not just for our blessings, Lord, but also for our burdens. Because, Lord, You do all things well. And our Father, that though many times we are plagued with worry and anxiety and our hearts do not rejoice and praise You and give You thanks as we should, we ask, Lord, that You would forgive us for those sins of ingratitude. But that You would build within our hearts, O Lord, a soul that is sensitive to the immense blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Regardless of what we have in terms of temporal comforts and blessings, O Father, each believer in Jesus Christ has been richly blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And may we learn to rejoice first and foremost in this. But Lord, in addition to that, we have all been blessed far more than we would ever deserve. Help us to see those blessings around us. Help us not to take them for granted. Help us to focus upon what we have and not what we don't have. And then may our hearts overflow. And may we enter into Thy gates with thanksgiving and Thy courts with praise. And more than that, may we enter into the very Holy of Holies, the presence of God Almighty in heaven, through the blood of Christ, heavy laden with a heart full of thanksgiving to our great and glorious God who blesses us so richly in Christ. So, God, may our hearts give You thanks this day. Teach us, help us, give us that kind of heart. We pray in Jesus' most glorious name. Amen.